This is Twit.
How would you feel if not only your X-rayed your body, but they also took a picture of your face when you were flying abroad? Well, the Department of Homeland Security said it's the only way to successfully expand a program that tracks non-immigrant foreigners. What has been done in the past? Well, if you've traveled abroad, you know that you've had to submit some kind of biometric-based identifiable claim, such as fingerprints, photos, which are collected before you make your trip. But what is this new program? Well, it's to scan departures from the country to essentially track visa overstays and also tighten security, but that they won't be actually keeping photos of U.S. citizens. Well, the Electronic Privacy Information Center is a bit worried here. Not only do they think that there could be potential government abuse, but also that there could be sensitive data here, and it potentially could be vulnerable to hackers as well. This is actually supposed to cost over $1 billion to implement, but the DHS is looking to subsidize some of the costs by partnerships with the airlines themselves. I don't know. What do you think, Cheaper? Is this moving us a little bit closer to the Big Brother future, where the government gains even more leverage with our digital faceprints as well?
Yeah, quite possibly. Now, keep in mind, this is actually a 3D facial scan. So it's actually getting more details than just a flat image. So this is going beyond just the surveillance cameras that they've been using already. Now, the idea behind this was simply they're trying to get a handle on the people that are abusing the visa system, you know, basically the tourist and student visa system. And, you know, that sounds great, but if DHS is going to be holding on to this, now they said, oh, we're only going to hang on to it for 14 days. Yeah, well, that's right now. What happens with a little later? I personally don't object too much if it's only, say, 14 days. But when someone decides to start hanging on to these and hanging on to these and hanging on to these for a long time and start maybe feeding it into the NSA, that starts getting into be some serious privacy issues. So I think it was a good idea to start, and I think, unfortunately, big government is going to be abusing it. So I don't like it.
Yeah, I think that's the interesting part is the interesting part that they were saying is that, you know, you can't opt out. So there's no way to say, hey, I'm a U.S. citizen. I have rights. You can't take my picture. They basically say, sorry, then you can't travel. But the interesting part is they're saying, but we don't really care about the U.S. citizens. We really care about the fact that these are potential international travelers or visa holders. So if you can prove that you're a U.S. citizen, why can't you opt out of the photo? Cheebert, what do you think?
One can only hope. But I think one of the problems is you start getting into, okay, is that a real passport or is it a fake passport? Do we have checks and balances? The unfortunate fact of life is there's a booming industry overseas of people with faking passports or stealing passports so they have legitimate numbers and then modifying it with the pictures. It's troublesome. You know, there's an awful lot of data when you have a 3D print. And, I don't know. I don't think I like this. Not one bit. Sam.
I think so. So the interesting part, though, here is, you know, you obviously said it, the difference here is this 3D print is a 3D picture, right? So it's providing a little bit more fidelity than the normal, like, flat 2D picture that you can get off, you know, somebody's social network or so on. But, you know, kind of the flip side here is they kind of already have some biometric information about you. They already have your license photo. They already have your passport photo. You know, they can pretty much do whatever they want with this information at this point. So the interesting part is, I guess, adding a little bit more fidelity to it, how is that? I guess the question back is, how is it any different than already using the stream of data that they already have?
Well, I'm actually not going to express my personal opinion. I'm going to just read an opinion from a biometrics consultant and former DHS analyst named Ben Ball. He's saying the government hasn't yet addressed the thorniest question. This is still a theoretical system, and that we are the first country on Earth to attempt a comprehensive biometric system, and it's very technically complicated. Gee, what can possibly go wrong, right?
So the interesting part here is that, I think the TSA kind of already collects data, right? So if you're a part of TSA PreCheck, you essentially give, additional biographical information. You give your digital fingerprint. You already provide a whole bunch of additional information in order to just kind of speed up the process to get through airport security. So is this just to me, it's almost like just an additional touch point, an additional data point for them to ensure that you're really saying who you are. I guess if you're already providing a fingerprint, though, what do they? I guess I still don't get why they need this additional piece of data if they already have this, right?
Well, fingerprints, we've known fingerprints to be able to be faked. But I think I think what they're trying to get, and this is just my opinion now, is, you might be able to fake a fingerprint or maybe a couple fingerprints, but can you fake fingerprints and a 3D facial scan? Because the 3D would allow you to get past the modifications, to get the facial geometry so that facial recognition can get past things like fake noses or extra thick eyebrows, or maybe a buildup of a chin. That's what the 3D is really all about. And, it sounds good, and I do like the concept of additional security, but is it really going to work? Have we actually talked to the experts enough? Have we tried things out on a smaller scale? $1 billion is an awful lot of money to spend on something that may or may not work. And this is, should we really be the first? Shouldn't it be maybe on a smaller scale? Danny's listening in Tel Aviv, and I tell you, I have never felt more safe than in Ben Gurion Airport. So maybe the United States needs to go and take a lot more cues from our Israeli friends.
Right, exactly. So this is interesting, because this kind of leads us into the next discussion, the next bite, where we're a bit worried about our privacy and where our data goes. But what if it actually can help and make us more secure, like you were just saying? So facial recognition is not just something that the IMF is using for Mission Impossible or something that Facebook is using for tagging your silly photos. Is it different? Well, what if the country could make safe, and particularly in this particular Ars article, it puts it as, we often speak of facial recognition technology as some Orwellian surveillance method that will one day be deployed by governments or other actors to chronicle our every move, and perhaps for nefarious purposes. But using facial recognition for good is not a crazy notion, right, Chibert? Well, I think Nevada authorities don't think so either, saying that they have announced that biometrics was one of the reasons they were able to arrest a violent criminal who actually escaped prison over 25 years ago. It just adds to the string of arrests that were possible due to biometrics. 64-year-old criminal Robert Frederick Nelson of North Las Vegas escaped from Minnesota prison in 1992. But when he went to go apply for a Nevada ID card, the Silver State's facial recognition system threw up some red flags. T-Bird, so it says that over 50% of adults today have their images in a crime-fighting or biometric database somewhere. Should they also be able to use it for things like this? We're essentially not just pulling you over from a cop perspective. Should be using it for, hey, is this person bad, no matter when they identify you, when you need to do something from a government perspective?
They talk about the long arm of the law, and my personal opinion is the long arm of the law actually does need to get a little bit longer. When we have felons that can escape incarceration for crimes that they've done for 25 years, that shouldn't have happened. And I like the fact that we're using technology to go and help close in on these people. There are a lot of unsolved cases, and there's a lot of people that are on the lam. Let's go and close that up a little bit. I personally think this is a good use of facial recognition. And, maybe it's not such a bad thing to actually have, say, facial recognition running behind, say, the police body cams. So that if we have a person that's pulled over that's a violent felon that's just got a broken taillight, I think it would be nice for us to be able to tell that police officer that they have a violent, potentially a violent felon, please exercise caution.
Right. Yeah, I think that's it. I think you and I can both agree that I think it's essentially a pretty good use of this data, especially if they're making our streets safe and our communities safer. But I think the interesting part is I'm not a lawyer, but kind of a flip side of things is if they're taking your picture, especially in a public scene, you know, there's essentially meaning that if somebody's gets their picture taken in public, it's not necessarily considered private. So they could be essentially used for anything. It could be posted online. It could be used for anything. So it'd be interesting to get a lawyer's perspective on this, because just as Facebook kind of uses their AI to identify you, I guess the question would be back is it against the law for the government to use it to ID you as well? So I think, Chiba, what do you think? I think this is kind of making it super confusing for technology, right? So what is the fair use of it and what's not? When can it be used for that? When can it not? When it can it's a government issue versus a private corporation issue. I think is it time for us to start nailing down some regulations here maybe?
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking the same thing. You know, Gravitas in the chat room said if you're in public, no expectation of privacy at all. And Emily Strange mentions we need Denise Howell. Yeah, I agree. We actually really do need to start setting some guidelines, because otherwise, you know, if I'm a law enforcement agent of any sort and I am desperately trying to go and track down that bank robber that shot someone on the way out, I'm going to be, shall we say, enthusiastic about using any tool at my disposal to try and apprehend those people. Now, if there are no clear-cut guidelines, then maybe the tools get abused. So, yeah, I'm thinking maybe it's time to actually have people like the ACLU, the American Legal Society, you know, people like that, to actually sit down and say, hey, what really is the bright blue line in the sand? Let's go and define that. Let's not have a fuzzy line. Let's have a bright blue line so that we can have some guidelines within American law enforcement on how far you can go that is considered acceptable. And let's live with it.